Welcome everyone, my name is Daniel Collins and thanks for joining me for episode 2 of the Ace Trainer podcast. If you did happen to miss episode 1, you can catch up on that on SoundCloud, where we went over the NAIC results along with some advice on what to play in upcoming league challenges. On this episode though, we'll go through the recent results from the first weekend of LCs here in Australia that were held across the country. We'll then look forward to Celestial Storm and pick out a few cards that could make a splash in the upcoming Worlds and post-rotation format. Along with tackling the question of what would you play for Worlds? Obviously though, I can't do all that alone, so as always I'm joined by three wonderful guests. This time they are Max, Greg, and returning from episode 1, James.
I've been playing for just over 2 years now. It's my second year of Masters. I did do a first year in Seniors when I first started playing. Achievements have been in seniors division. That's 2 top 60 internationals and a top 8 regionals. Really made a name for myself yet in Masters, but I'm hoping to do that next year.
Hey guys, my name's Greg. I've been playing competitively since middle of 2015. I'm most known for playing Greninja. I had a piloted that deck to a finals finish in Sydney regionals, and then I played Gallipod Zoroark at the most recent Oceania IC and got cucked out of my winning in to Jimmy Pendarvis on my top 8. If I had won that, I would have been the first Australian to make top 8, but unfortunately I wasn't very lucky.
And hey everyone, I'm James. Happy to be back and talking about cards.
Alright, nice. Thank you all for being here. It is a pleasure. But we will kick off into the first topic, and that is the LCs that were held across the country on the weekend. I know pretty much all of us went to an LC except for James. So, Greg, why don't you kick us off with how your LC went this past weekend?
My LC was pretty good. I played Greninja. It was a bit of a joke pick. I kind of wanted to say goodbye to my favorite deck before rotation hit. I don't think I'll be playing this at Worlds day one, but if I do make day two, then it might be a play. Greninja Break might be a play. The Perth meta was pretty standard. There were two Zoroark decks that made top 4. Buzzwall, Lycanroc took out the whole thing. I made 4th. It was a pretty healthy showing. There was lots of Malamar in the field as well, lots of Zoroark. And there was a top 8 finish with Yveltal Break. So overall, I think Perth was pretty standard. There wasn't anything too out of meta, aside from maybe Greninja as a finish. I think Malamar probably could have finished a little bit higher. I did end up playing 2 Malamar decks when both decks were undefeated. That's probably why Malamar didn't end up having a better finish overall. And I think, Perth was pretty standard.
So it sounds like someone might have picked up your article and had a good read of your Yveltal Break article and brought it to an LC by the sounds of that.
Yeah. Aaron, who ended up playing Yveltal Break, he messaged me the night or I think 2 nights before that, and I was going through the deck with him, and I told him, look, this is... I think it's a really good deck. I think Yveltal Break's in a really good spot at the moment. There are not a lot of non-EX, non-GX decks, and I think Yveltal Break's in a really good spot. The way that it's designed targeting the top 3 decks in mind. And I just spoke to him about the deck, ran through a couple of the card choices. I think it is a deck that you need to be practicing with and kind of getting your head around how you approach certain matchups, because it is so matchup based. But I think top 8, it's not bad for Yveltal Break.
Yeah, no, it was a good finish. It definitely got me on the day. That was my one loss for the day, was losing to that Yveltal Break. So it shows it can definitely take down some of those top decks. But what about you, James? I know you didn't attend any, but you kept track of the Melbourne ICs? LCs? ICs.
Yeah, unfortunately none scheduled for Adelaide just yet, but definitely we'll be attending when we get around to them. Obviously focusing on Worlds a little bit before getting the next season started, but it was cool to see a couple for our nearest neighbours over in Victoria play. some familiar names making our classy little top fours. Pretty small events, being LCs, but of course it's just cool to have a look at sort of what happened. I think for our first, looks like we've got classic name for Australian player. We've got one by Michael Kahn playing Buzzrock. Good to see that he's playing again as well. Like, clearly one of Australia's best players, so no surprises to see him winning very early in a season as well. So hopefully a return to form.
Yeah, I think we've kind of missed the Kahn family in recent years.
Yeah, actually, it's not the same without. But I'm hoping that this is like the start of, what was it, 2016, where Michael just won back-to-back League Cups with Night March and just kind of destroyed for an extended period of time. So, yeah, hopefully like a little return to form there. We got Kevin Lee playing Frogs. Good guy, bad deck, but gets results.
The Greninja hate in this podcast.
I don't dig it. Love you, but you make it hard. Hey. It's good, but we had some Buzzrock, some Frogs. Zorg Gardy looks like it made an appearance with Ben Hall. He's played Sylveon and a couple other like fairy types and a bit of everything, so that's actually a pretty cool pick. And what have we got? Steven Filipowski, my boy, finishing out with Buzzrock as well. So a little bit less Buzzrock than was expected for Day 2 and especially Top Cut for NEIC, but it still works. Like, don't forget to actually still test against that in the fray of testing for Ray and all the new stuff for Worlds, because it's still good. Put in Field Blowers and a ninth supporter, and it's actually fine. Yeah. And looks like we had Bendigo as well in Victoria. Won by Luke Schmidt with Zoropod. Pretty standard stuff.
Good choice. I like that.
Yeah, safe plays. Ben Hall getting second on the second one there with Zorogardi again. Double Gallade for sure. Ben Woodward with Zoro Garb and Jared Taylor with Zoro Rock. So that's four different Zoro decks in the top four for, granted, a small league challenge, but it's clearly Zorak is a good card, and they almost have listened to us last week when we said don't play anything that isn't Zoroark, because he is the dude.
Yeah, I think Bendigo definitely took notice of the first podcast and we're like, well, all right, you play this one, you play Gardevoir, I'll play Pod, you play Lycanroc, and we'll all cut, and it'll be great.
Line up, get your bring your 4/4s, all right, partner,
and get your partners at the door. All right, here you go. That was interesting to see a couple of Zoro Guardies make a return. Do you think that is a viable deck, guys, heading into possibly Worlds?
It's the same player that made cut twice, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's the one dude.
Rocking. Oh, so it's just the one guy.
It's the one dude with the Zoro Guard. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's not a terrible choice. I think it was just kind of people have been experimenting with the shell of, like, the Zoroark Stage 2 deck. Like, there was for, obviously towards Zoro Guardi when it came out, and then people kind of hyping Zoro Shiftry for the new set. So I think the skeleton and, like, the build is being looked at and worked on, and probably Zoro Guardi isn't a bad play. It's just hard to fit everything and get it to, hey.
Yeah.
How many rare candies do you normally run? Two or three, I think?
I think it was like four. It might have been three to four.
I think it's at least three in towards.
Yeah. Once you get them in play, turns me off about the deck is that if you're having to run four rare candy, that's four tech spots that could go somewhere else. Either with your hammers, your extra stadium counts, your supporters. That's what turns me off playing a Zoroark with a Stage 2 deck.
Yeah.
I think like another reason that I wouldn't play a Stage 2 deck with Zoroark is how slow it is compared to other decks. Like,
yeah.
In this format, you've got Ray and Buzzwole, which are like super fast decks. You have to like compete with the pace of the decks. We even saw people like Jimmy Pendarvis cutting Acerola from Galissapod Zoroark because it was too slow to compete with stuff like Buzzwole, so I really don't think that playing a deck is the best of ideas.
Yeah, definitely. And on that note, Max, you managed to have your own LC this weekend that you attended. How did that go for you?
First thing I need to say is, unfortunately, Matt did have to play Raichu GX.
We know nothing about that. Tell us more.
Did actually manage to win a game. It may have been because it was a bye.
That's not how he told it.
Yeah, I think we need to have a chat to Matt, because I think Matt tried to sell it as he legit won a game.
It's still a win.
In Matty's heart, it is.
The rest of the Ace Trainer team. Zoroark deck, so that was Bodhi, James, and I. All played different Zoroark decks. Bodhi played Garb, I played Glissapod, and James played Quad Zoroark. Well, it's an AIC. Zoro Garb managed to take down the tournament. Seems to be the superior Zoroark version at the moment. The rest of the top eight, it was quite a big league challenge, so we did have a top eight. It was quite standard. We had a lot of Malamar, Buzzwall, and Zoroark decks. So I played Glissapod Zoroark deck at the moment. It's a really, really strong deck, and I really enjoy playing it.
Did you? It's really standard. Did you fit the monkey in? Did you play monkey?
Oh, yeah, of course, you have to play that card. Otherwise, you just lose the mirror, or you lose the Quad Zoroark matchup.
Yeah, you lose the Quad Zoroark matchup. That's the one you lose that I was worried about. And I think, obviously, Jimmy Pendarvis played Zoropod, but he didn't have the monkey in his list for the NAIC. And I think that's one thing he probably regrets.
Against the Lycanroc Zoroark in round two, where we played like a 50-minute game too, because...
Jeez.
Monkey all game.
Jeez.
The rest of the tournament was pretty standard, just people playing good decks, trying to get the points at the start of the season.
Yep. Nice. And then I managed to take a look. There was an LC in Penrith in New South Wales. So I managed to have a look at the results for that. Lucario Zoroark managed to win that. So Rob Jeffrey took out that event. We have David Patan with SB on Drampa Garb. A bit of a throwback there. Corey Munro finished third with Buzzwall Lycanroc. Pretty standard. And Ellis playing Crabominable Zoroark GX. Now, the last time I saw Crabominable was one of your partners down there in South Australia, James. Was your mate Jordan taking Crabominable to an event in Tassie, I believe.
God damn it. I was so hyped about crabs, and I had been just messaging every group chat with crab people now, Charlie, for like months, getting people hyped on this. It's like, this is so good. Just like one bops all these Zoroarks. And then I didn't go to an event. So I'd like, that wasn't like league or a league challenge, play it. And Jordan gets the points he needs on day one. So he's like, eh, what do I play for day two? And I'm like, yeah, we'll just play crabs, like just to have fun. And it's like, yeah, sure. Done. And then everyone's like, oh, there's a real cool crabs deck. It's like, no, I've been so long into this. Trying to play something that wasn't like 140 HP, fighting type, like it resists all the first impressions and right beats and everything. Had the whole thing sketched out. I should definitely share the screenshots of me just screaming crab people now, Charlie, at people. But yeah, it's been a minute since we've seen crabs. I think it's it may have had its moment now that Baby Buzz and the new Regirock kind of just do what it does, but on a basic, which is always favored in the game. So they're still cool. They're still good cards, but yeah, it's definitely been a minute.
Yeah. And if anyone was going to play, it was definitely going to be Ellis Longhurst was going to play something absolutely as crazy as Crabominable Zoroark. But yeah, obviously after those results, it seems like the meta just does not matter in Sydney, apparently. They will just play whatever they like, whenever they like. Because outside of Buzzwall, everything else is kind of fringe. But yeah, that's kind of a bit of a recap of the LCs from the past weekend. I'm pretty sure there's more LCs. I'm pretty sure there's another double on the weekend in Melbourne somewhere. So there's another double LC, so make sure you guys get out to those events and support your local stores. Especially given that, unfortunately, Celestial Storm pre-releases had to be cancelled here in Australia due to stock holdups. They will be rescheduled as release events the following weekend. So I know you guys can get your hands on stock of Celestial Storm beforehand, but please go support your local stores. They do a wonderful job helping us have organized the play events and giving us places to play. So please go support your events, go support your stores, even though it is just a release event. But we will move on to having a look at Celestial Storm. Lots of interesting things definitely affecting the world's meta, and we'll definitely play a big part in decks that we will see post-rotation. So we've each taken a look at a card that we like, could be interesting, could do something new. So we will start off with James, and what have you got from Celestial Storm? What's piqued your interest?
Okay, so obviously there's some really good cards in here. Everyone's hyped on Ray. Cool, big bash deck, sounds good. I was actually really keen on Stack Attacker, which is funny because traditionally defensive decks and strategies in Pokemon have been less successful than aggressive strategies. Why deny prizes when you could just take more yourself? It's a first past the post game. So with like maybe the possible exception of like Broken Guardy and original Zoropod with like three Acerola and puzzles, defensive play hasn't been that big. But in a format where they kind of limit the amount of damage you can do, you know, Rybeats 120 at the best of days, sure, yeah, reverse, Kukui, Band, whatever. Minus 10 or 20 damage can mean, you know, the difference between one and two shots and even two and three shots under, you know, certain circumstances. So I was like, cool, Stack Attack, it looks fun. It's dumb to say, the puns make itself, you know. We were just having a look at that. Obvious pairing is Stack Attack and the Garnadale for a Beast Box variety, but we're also having a look at Celesteela, being another metal ultra beast that resists fighting. You may remember that symbol from Buzzwole. And Stack Attacker, being metal type, resists psychic, and you'll remember that color from Squids. So those two cards, cool. They cover a lot of things, a lot of HP, bit of damage, some cool attacks. Sounds good. And then I was like, ah, there's going to be a bit of Hooper. So Hooper's a problem for both of them, which is kind of annoying. So Shining Legends by GXs, EXs, so we need a non-EX attacker. So we were sitting around with the Adelaide boys, yeah, the Sableyes, just theory-moning some decks last Saturday night at like 1 in the morning, and I'm saying, I need something to kill a Hooper, I need a Hooper to go away and stop being a thing, and what can do it in this metal deck that runs, you know, Heavy Ball, DCE, Metal Energy, Max Elixir, you know, this Celesteela-style deck. And I can't think of, we were kind of thinking, you know, that new Celesteela that can do it for one energy, sure. You do that once, you kill one Hooper, and then you are no longer both on six prizes, so it doesn't get there. The new Kartana, sure, it kills one, it's got 80 HP, it gets killed back. You're no longer in exactly six prizes, it doesn't get there. The promo Duskmane, sure, you can put three energy on it. If you're on your last prize, it can one hit, doesn't get there. So I need this card to solve this problem, this specific problem that I have. So I like read some of the scans from the new set, and it literally exists. They've already printed a card, exactly the thing that I wanted it to do. And it's the new Registeel. And no one's looked at it yet. I know, I think I saw like a Travis Nunn list mention it once on six prizes. But this thing is beast. 120 HP. Okay, not very impressive. Sure, that dies to a right beat or a first impression, but hold up. It's got an ability, loosely translated to exoskeleton, reduces damage by attacks is reduced by 10. So that survives a riot beat, that survives a first impression. Cool. So we've still got this thing on the field. It's a psychic type. It's a metal type, so it resists psychic. Cool. Three retreat. Cool. Heavy ball hits Stack Attack. It hits Duskmane Necrozma GX. Hits Celesteela GX. Cool. And its attack is metal DCE, the exact costing that we're working with, and it deals 60. And that's not very good, but if your opponent's active Pokemon has an ability, it does 60 more. So we got there. It one hits a Hooper, it one hits a Mikago, it one hits a Guru, it one hits a Octillery, it two hits a Zoroark, it two hits a Lycanroc. It just does just enough to be useful in this one scenario for a thing that I wanted to exist, and then I Googled it, and then it existed. And just for that incredibly long wind-up, what is otherwise like a 4 out of 10 card, I reckon this guy is actually fairly strong.
It's like, you know what, I looked at all the cards in Celestial Storm, and you know what, I picked the most obscure one-dimensional one I could pick, and that's my favorite card.
It's just as splashable as it needs to be to work. Now, a keen eye would notice that this is exactly the attack that's on Shining Lugia, which actually has 130 HP, survives the first impression, survives a right beat, and has fighting resistance, which you remember from Buzzwole. So we're back, we actually have the same card twice. Yeah. But
do you know,
James,
do you know what other card does exactly what we're talking about that's already being played in the list? that
well,
you
I clearly
are...
don't.
Solgaleo Prism Star. Solgaleo Prism Star.
Absolutely. No, I definitely have that, but that's a one-off.
You're fine. That's
no,
nice.
I absolutely agree, but that's a one-off. I wanted one.
That'll take out two. That'll take out two of the Hoopas. You're fine. Like, easy. Easy. It'd be okay.
Solgaleo Prism and Shining Lugia or Aristeel, be it that as it may. That'll
stop
get you covered.
Stop trying to make Registeel a thing. It's not a thing.
Yeah, it's not a thing. Stop trying to make it work.
It's not a thing.
He's already
four foils then.
It's already dead.
Not a thing.
No, Google it. No, it's real.
Alright. So we've got James picking Registeel, despite having multiple other options to do the same job. We're going to get he's going with Registeel. Registeel is his boy. He's going to stand as strong by his side as Registeel does. But
yes, sir.
That leaves us with Max. So hopefully Max has a less long-winded reason why he picked the card he did. But Max, what do you like from Celestial Storm?
My favorite card from Celestial Storm is Burnett GX. Yeah, a lot less long-winded version than James's. It's a good card.
Well, that's good, good. We might actually finish this podcast before 40 minutes.
Let's see. Once you're in your turn, if this Pokemon is in your active position, you can maybe move one damage counter from one Pokemon to another Pokemon. So that can be of your Pokemon to an opponent's or from your opponent's to another one of your opponents, whatever you want to do. I saw this card, I thought this is going to be a great partner for Zoroark GX because it instantly fixes its Buzzwole matchup. Can you hit Buzzwole for weakness and be able to one-shot most of the stuff? You also have the option to move the one damage counter and then you can one-shot the baby Buzzwole with a Zoroark GX finally being able to hit the 130 damage that you couldn't hit before. Also great because you can stop wasting damage a lot of the time, the amount of damage that you want to do. So you can move the one damage counter somewhere else if it's not necessary. One shot in the future. And then its first attack is Shadow Chant, which does 30 damage plus 10 more damage for each supporter card in your discard pile. Zoroark does have the trade ability. And you are playing quite a few supporters in the deck, so you are able to trade away unnecessary supporters such as Bridget after you've already used one, or Cynthia's after you have up. And the damage can stack up quite quickly. It is can't do more than 100 damage discarding supporters, but it does fit in with the Zoroark mentality of being able to and actually being able to one-shot Buzzwole for one energy without having to play a Mew EX, which is really nice. And then its GX attack is also an insane good attack. It allows you to put three cards from your discard pile into your hand. A puzzle of time, but you get an extra card. So in a late game, you could pair this with an N, or you could just out of ways of disrupting your hand, and you could get back the two puzzle of time cards that you need to win in the upcoming turns, or you could get more cards to disrupt your opponent. I just think it's a really, really good card to pair with Zoroark GX. Fixes a lot of problems it's had before. Post rotation as well, after losing Puzzle of Time.
Yeah, we'll lose Puzzle in rotation when it's, that's good. What do you guys think? Do you think it's best partnered with Zoroark, or is there another partner that best suits Burnett?
I'll be honest. I had some reservations about this card being paired with Zoroark just as like a main attacker. But I think having spoken to some of you guys about it before the podcast started and saying, look, we'll add this as a 1-1 line in Zoroark Garbodor, that makes sense. But I've just had a look at the sort of standard supporter line that you would expect to see in a Zoroark Garb, and you're running 13 supporters. You're running 13 supporters, so you're not always going to be hitting that 130 with the first attack. So I'm a bit skeptical. I'm on the fence about it. I think if you were to play this, I think it would be the weakest of all Zoroark decks, so Zoroark variants that are out there at the moment.
Is that both for Worlds and post-rotation, you think?
Post-rotation, yes, both, because I think post-rotation Zoroark just becomes stronger. Buzzwole loses Max Elixir, and Buzzwole's the biggest threat to Zoroark, so I think, yes, for both Worlds and post-rotation. I think it's a great card. It's very reminiscent of the old Banette GX, but it's a little bit too slow, I think, unfortunately.
I think an important thing to note for after post-rotation is we will have a Ditto Prism Star.
Hmm.
A different variation of Zoroark deck, and be playing the Ditto Prism Star, and actually just play a one copy of Banette GX, and you can evolve the Ditto Prism Star into the Banette GX.
Hmm.
Keep blazing that way. Being able to get back cards like DC and stuff because you don't have any very special energy recovery post-rotation.
The Ditto's nice, yeah. Being able to evolve from the Ditto into like a Zoroark or anything else that you need is nice.
Yeah. All right. And Greg, you picked out a card from Celestial Storm. What did you pick?
Yeah, I did. I picked Shrine of Punishment. So Shrine of Punishment's basically a reprint of Desert Ruins from EX. Hidden Legends. All the OGs will know about it. I'm sure Daniel knows about it because Dan played back then as well. So the effect of the card, of the effect of the stadium is basically between turns, you put one damage counter on each EX or GX Pokemon on the field, both yours and your opponent. Back then, back in the EX era, it was considered to be a really, really strong card. Because a lot of the Pokemon, or the X Pokemon then, had a maximum HP cap of around about 150 HP.
Yep.
It's obviously less powerful now because we're dealing with higher amounts. We're dealing with, you know, 210s, 220s, 230s. But I think it's still very impactful moving forward. It's definitely going to be more impactful moving forward, post-rotation. It's the sort of support card that non-EX, non-GX decks need. We haven't necessarily had one quite yet. A lot of the non-EX, non-GX decks are based around evolution, so it's a little bit slow. Hopefully with this Desert Ruins or this Shrine of Punishment Stadium card, you can kind of keep up with the pace a little bit. Some non-EX, non-GX cards that we have in the past, Alolan Ninetales and the Shining Legends Hoopa, those are two very good cards, but the difference between them and Desert Ruins is that Shrine of Punishment is splashable. You could put it in any non-EX, non-GX deck. So it's not limited by type, it's not limited by energy, it's not limited by whatever. Shrine of Punishment can go into basically any non-EX, non-GX deck. And going to, you know, some of the decks that I'm thinking of right now, at the NAIC, we saw a resurgence of the Psychic Malamar typing with single prize attackers. So you had the Hoopa from Steam Siege.
Yep.
You had the promo Mewtwo. That would have been a really cool and really niche stadium to put in. Greninja might even, you know, you might even pop one or two Shrine of Punishments in there. It's not necessarily, it doesn't really change anything, but it's nice having that extra 10 damage. And I think moving forward, this is a sleeper card that a lot of people haven't really noticed. And my bold prediction going into Worlds is there will be a deck that makes top 8 in the Masters division that will play Shrine of Punishment. I think it's a great card. It's something that a lot of people are sleeping on. And with all the decks that are currently top decks in the meta, don't sleep on Shrine of Punishment. Don't sleep on Shrine of Punishment.
All right. Well, with a bold prediction like that, James and Max, I feel like we've got to tie that into our world drop somehow. And if that does not happen, there's going to be a secondary Shrine of Punishment attached to that one, I think. But yeah, like you said, when Hypnotoxic Laser was around, 10 damage between turns was massive with poison. And I think Shrine of Punishment is going to do exactly that same thing. Like Max was talking about how Burnett fixes a lot of things, like moving just 10 damage around. So Shrine of Punishment kind of does that same thing. So I think people do underestimate how much 10 damage can do. And it's in between turns. So it's not even like it's 10 yeah. damage. It's 20 damage, basically, by the time you get your turn again.
And I mean, a lot of decks are cutting their Fuel Blower counts, and most decks usually run two stadiums. Buzzwole runs three. If you run a four of Shrine of Punishment, more often than not, you're going to be hitting this. Plus, you know, if you're genuinely a slower deck, and I'm looking at the Hoopa decks here, you usually do run Lusamine. Lusamine allows you to take back any sort of stadium cards that are in your discard pile. You might be going for, you know, Shrine of Punishment if you have that as a luxury.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely gives you that option to add up the damage. That's the one thing kind of like those safeguard Pokemon have been limited by then. You kind of do 70, 80 damage over the history of the game. So Shrine of Punishment will definitely add up really quickly. Is there an option to play it with spread maybe? With like Coco promo, the Fairy Lele that lets you move damage counters around? Is that maybe something we see?
I thought about it, and I think an interesting thing is that I think we're going to get the Psychic Tapu Lele promo just before Worlds, and I think it's going to be legal for Worlds. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's the information that I have at the moment. You could actually run that in the single attacker, you know, in most Malamar lists, because you can have that sort of psychic attachment really easily, really quickly. It could be. I think spread decks are difficult because if your opponent's good enough and your opponent's smart enough to kind of stagger how and when they play their Pokemon, your spread isn't as effective. But It would be definitely, Shrine of Punishment would be their stadium of choice, definitely. Because I can't think of any other stadium that would be as beneficial for these said spread decks.
Yep. All right. And then I decided to pick the card Copycat from Celestial Storm. So it is a reprint again, after Greg made me feel quite old with the Desert Ruins punishment, the Shrine of Punishment analogy. We're going to go back to Copycat, which is a reprint. So it's a supporter card. When you play it, shuffle your hand into your... Both players... No, it's just you. Shuffle your hand into your deck and draw the same amount of cards that your opponent has in their hand. Now, why this might not be great for Worlds format, because we have so many other great supporters. We have Cynthia, which will probably let you draw more and to disrupt your opponent. You might see it as a one-off in the Zoroark decks that can potentially have big hands when they trade and everything like that. Copycat will be really good in your turn. But once we see rotation happen, we lose N, we keep Cynthia, we lose Sycamore, so we end up with a lot of shuffle. A lot of shuffle draw. We have Cynthia, Judge, Copycat. And I think with Zoroark only getting stronger, with Magcargo getting printed post-rotation, I think Copycat's going to be quite good. We're going to be playing a lot of Zoroark decks. You're going to be drawing as many as they have in their hand after they've traded it all. So I think Copycat's going to be really good, and it's nice to have a reprint that we can actually use the art of. The old art of, unlike unfortunately Dunsparce getting the axe on being able to use the old Dunsparce. But what do you guys think about Copycat?
I've been including it in decks where I don't want fourth Cynthia. Like, just having that raw extra support account is actually quite nice. Obviously, in Zoroark decks, if they trade up to like 14 cards and you shuffle draw that many, it's like having the old Chorus or Skyfield Chorus combo and drawing far too many cards. But I would definitely suggest, if you're planning to play Zoroark in the current format or for test with a Copycat, not over the Sycamore, but over like the second Cynthia or a lesser supporter there, just so it gives you those options. It's like playing decks with like VS Seeker, and you can play 8 different supporters and special summon the one you need at exactly the moment you need it. It just gives you like a thing that you could do that you couldn't do otherwise. The only downside being, of course, fairly not great in your opening hand. You're shuffle drawing less than you would for N, and you're not disrupting your opponent. But it's cool because it's like in Zoroark, you look at your opponent's hand, and if they have 3 or less, you play Delinquent. If they have 4, 5, 6, 7 cards and they've got 3 or less prizes, you play N. And if they have any more cards or more prizes, you just play Copycat. So it gives you something to do at all.
Nice.
I think Buzzwole decks should definitely be running at least 1 Copycat. Because the biggest issue is when you're facing down a Zoroark deck that has 10 cards in their hand, they've traded thrice, and you're just going, all right, cool, I've got a hand of 5 cards. What am I going to do against your hand of 10? And being able to play that copycat down, drawing into those 10 cards, drawing into your elixirs, drawing into your strong energies, your choice bands, your lichen rocks, those are all very... The way that I see it, Buzzwole's a very combo-intensive deck. And I think they could do well with maybe 1 or 2 copycats. You could probably even cut Cynthia completely. I know a lot of decks are running 2 Cynthia at the moment and maybe even 2N. Some decks are running 3N, 1 Cynthia. You could go 3N, 1 copycat. And basically, because most of the time, if you're playing copycat on turn 1, your opponent's got maybe 5 or 6 cards in hand. It's not too bad. It's not ideal, but it's also not a horrible supporter to play if that's the only supporter that you have in your hand.
Yep.
I think something else worth mentioning is Shift 3GX. That does more damage if you have the same amount of cards in your hand as your opponent, so it gives you another option as well as Judge to be able to get that extra 90 damage if you're playing that card in Zoroark or in a different deck.
Yeah, I think for post-rotation, that's where we really see Shift G be able to be probably as good as it can be with all the shuffle draw options of Copycat Judge, where like people are going to end up with similar hands, or it's easy to get your opponent to end up with the same hand size as you. So Copycat's definitely going to help out Shift G in that regard. But we will move on and we will take a quick look at Worlds by asking my 3 guests here. If Worlds was tomorrow, what would you play and why? Max, what would you play if you were going to Worlds?
I would definitely be playing Glissapod Zoroark or some sort of Zoroark deck. It's the safe option, the deck I know the most.
So it's it's about consistency and comfort for you?
Yeah, it's about consistency and comfort. I would myself if I played a deck that was inconsistent and I felt that it was the deck's fault and not my fault that I didn't do well. I'd definitely play that. I think that I would play in that deck would be potentially a lot of Ray around, and I don't know how well Zoroark Glissapod could fare against that deck, so Sylveon EX allows you to be able to one-shot just a DC in the choice band, so...
Yeah. Do you think that's a hard combo to pick up with only playing the one choice band in most Glissapod lists nowadays?
Because I'd probably go up to 2 choice band and a Sylveon EX. Definitely getting the wins against Ray. I do think it's going to be quite popular.
Yep, definitely. All right, we move on to James. What about you? What are you playing for Worlds tomorrow?
At the moment, I'm just running through a list of testing things that aren't so that I can cross everything off and settle on Zoroark decks. I'd be happy with Zoropod. Zorogub, Zoroweavile has been really, really fun. The problem is everything is good. Double Dogs is great. Like, just everything works, but I know for sure that I think, like, there's, like, things that I like to play. I like Parallel, I like Healing, I like playing Blower, I like playing Guru. So all those things fit in Zoroark decks more than anything else. I like playing 15 different supporters and picking the one that you want at the time. I think that I just want to mention Mr. Mime, because people have been sleeping on this. Buzzwole is everywhere. Sense. We're talking about spread decks, we're talking about Fairy Tapu Lele, we're talking about Psychic Tapu Lele, I'm talking about Spiritomb, moving damage counters around, and even talking about like Black Ray GX and all this spread and devolve and ooh yeah, spread, Veldal Break's got a good Zoroark matchup and stuff. No, just play a mine. Play one card that you can bridge it for and you just solve so many of these matchups. So definitely, if you're playing Zoroark, I would suggest Mime, because otherwise you have like a suite of bad matchups coming in. But other than that, yeah, just play something Zoroark. Just get used to Zoroark mirrors. There won't be too much squids, because I don't think it'll make it through, but know how to play against like Ray and Buzz. Sylveon's not terrible against Ray, but in our testing quickly, it's just a two-prizer that Ray can just bonk back. So you have to have the two choice bands so that you can use one on Sylveon and one on Galissapod to crossing cut. But if you, I don't know, it depends how risky you like it. If you play Rainbow Energy and the two band, you can use the promo Tapu, the Ultra Prism, the Fairy Tapu Lele to kill Rays. And that's another option. And that way you actually trade up on the prizes there. So definitely something to keep an option on at least. Other than that, Zoropod can play the Tapu Koko and then the Dedenna that deals like 30 plus 30 if there's a lightning type of a bench, and then 30 more with a band, and you're there for a DC.
James with the obscure picks, as always. If there is ever going to be an obscure pick, James is going to find it for your deck. So if you want that one way out there tech card that is going to get you a mention on a stream, James is your guy. Definitely get hit up, James.
I forgot to mention, watching Reggie steal and it like kills a Hooper. I realized I was already playing a Ranguru and that already does 120 to a Hooper.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's good.
Stop playing three for the one roll.
No, it's good. It's good.
All right, so far the other two are playing Zoroark. Are you going to give me anything different, Greg, or are you playing Zoroark as well?
Well, it depends, right? I mean, are we talking about day one? Or are we talking about day two when Spice wins Worlds?
No, we're gonna. Well, does Spice win Worlds though?
I think no. I think look, Spice. I think Spice wins Worlds. I think if you're in day two, you want to play something that's a little bit more interesting. That's a little bit more out there. It's not about consistency. If you run hot, you run hot, and you're going well.
Yeah, I think Meta's won Worlds. Like Virizion, Genesect, and
yeah, but they were all played day one, though. That's what I'm saying.
But that's what I mean. So I mean, if we're talking about day one, if we're playing, you know, if I'm playing in, and I am playing in day one, I'm probably playing a Zoroark variant of some kind, just because I like drawing cards in a card game, and the fact that drawing cards is a good thing. So I think I'm probably playing Zoroark Lycanroc. That's, you know. I think that's the deck that I've had the most fun playing. It's an aggressive deck. It suits my play style. I feel really comfortable playing that deck. Buzzwall, yes, Buzzwall's a bad matchup. It's a negative matchup for you, but you can, you know, it's not an unwinnable matchup by any means. If I'm in day two, though,
Here we go. Here it comes.
Playing frogs.
Yeah, there we go, boys. Yeah, there it is. It wouldn't be a podcast if Greg wasn't calling. He was going to play frogs.
We're going to be playing frogs. We're going to be playing frogs. Everyone's going to be sleeping on the Giratina promo, and we're going to be feasting. We are going to be feasting. Trust me on that.
So you guys had it here first. Giratina promos for day two if Greg makes it. James will be there handing them out at the door.
I'm just going to press purchase on my TNT card of 66 $6. Everyone gets one.
I have to agree.
Side note, I have never hated a card so much in my life. Like, there is, like, if I could buy the entire world's population of one card, it would be Giratina promo, and I would actually burn every single Giratina promo that I could actually get my hands on. It's just disgusting. It makes me so angry. It makes me so angry to the point where when I play Psychic Malamar, or when I play any Malamar decks, I refuse to put in Giratina promo. Because I just can't bring myself to do it.
Out of spite.
I really can't. Yeah, out of spite. I can't bring myself to do it.
Yeah, Max, you had something you wanted to get in there just before?
Oh, yeah. I definitely do have to agree with Greg that day two, if you want to win Worlds, I would say it's going to be the play, because everyone in day two Worlds is good. Yeah. They're going to know how to play against the good decks. They're going to know how to play against all the matchups they tested against.
But they don't know how to play up against the bad decks? Is that what that is? I see. I like your point there, Max. They know how to play good decks, but they don't know how to play against the bad ones. I like
it. No one tested against me.
Bad deck. Worlds is doing
it. I just think that when it comes down to, you know, essentially 7-8 rounds and then, you know, semis and, you know, top 8 semis and finals after that, consistency kind of, to a certain extent, goes out the window, because if you're running hot, you're running hot. And this is kind of why I think Rayquaza GX might actually, you know, I think by all accounts, I think it's a bad deck. I think it's a very unstable deck, in the sense that you're either doing really, really well with it or you're doing really poorly with it. So if there is a Rayquaza GX deck in day two, or if somebody, you know, if somebody can go really, really hot with that deck on day two, they're making it all the way. And that's what day two Worlds is all about. It's about playing the deck that you're most comfortable with, playing the deck that is super high risk and high reward. And if you don't do well, all you can, you know, you can shrug your shoulders and say, I made day two at Worlds. What you got on me?
Yep. That's all right. It's definitely true. You got to give it a shot. Otherwise, you'll never know. And that goes for everyone out there. Same with even just trying to earn an invite to Worlds. If you don't give it a go, you'll never know what you're capable of. So, little bit of incentive there for all you out there. All of us have been lucky enough to earn invites to Worlds, so there's no reason anyone out there can't do it as well. But that will pretty much wrap it up from here. Thank you very much to all my amazing guests for joining me. Thank you very much, Matt, James, and Max, James, and Greg for joining me. We will be back in another couple of weeks. We'll be back in another couple of weeks with all of our sponsored players here at Ace Trainer. I will have James Williams, Clifton Go, Samir Sangwan, and Brent Tonneson doing a big pre-Worlds podcast. So you'll get to hear from a lot of amazing players on what they think Celestial Storm has brought to the pack. How their testing means going, what decks they think will be played, and yeah, that'll be pretty much it with them. So thank you guys all again. Do you guys have any quick shout outs you want to give before we head off?
Yeah, I got a shout out. I'll shout out Mitchell Clark. I said I would shout out him. Shout out to Mitchell Clark for coming back to Pokemon. He had a bit of a hiatus after bombing out at OCIC. But welcome back, buddy. I can't wait to kick your butt in future Pokemon events. So welcome back. Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back, Mitch. What about you, James? Any quick shout-outs?
Thanks to the Sableye. Having time for my dumb deck ideas and bad cards and testing. They're actually hanging out downstairs. We're like, doing a lot of talk nonsense for a bit. But, yeah, Pokemon's a social game. It's about your community. It's about testing and having fun. So thanks everyone there for always keeping it interesting and being interesting. Yeah.
Cheers. Yeah, so thanks to the Sableye for supporting James and his Registeel. Thanks for that. Thanks for that, guys. We really appreciate Word. That.
Somebody has to. Somebody has to.
And Max, is there any quick shout outs you want to give?
I suppose just a shout out to the Brisbane players. So like Bodie, James, just helping me with my tests and everything, even though I'm not going to be able to attend Worlds. Still fun just to keep playing Pokemon.
Yep, definitely. So that's going to wrap it up. Thank you all very much for joining us. Thank you very much to your listeners for tuning in. Yeah, catch us all on SoundCloud, and we'll see you next time.